Bach, I understand, has some real meaning to you, some real significance in your musical development.
Bach has played a long part in my musical life. I started playing the solo Bach sonatas and partitas when I was 9 in preparation for a couple of movements that I played on my first full recital when I was 10. And shortly after that, I started at Curtis. And my teacher, Yasha Brodsky at Curtis, believed that Bach should be part of one's musical life every day. He always liked me to bring a bunch of different things to my lesson, and he would just kind of pick whichever he wanted to hear that day. So I always knew that he might ask me to play something by Bach, so I always had to have some solo Bach ready twice a week for my lessons. And because it was such a present part of my musical life, I wound up programming Bach in recitals and playing it as encores after concerti, and it just worked so well that I kept doing it. So I can say that in almost every one of my concerts in my career, I have played solo Bach.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, could you talk a little bit about the partitas and sonatas? I mean, what they are? What did he write them for?
It's not quite clear what his final intended destination was for these pieces, but they've become such a part of the violin repertoire. They're, I would say, with performers, with violinists, and with students, it's become a sort of a set of pieces that's attained cult status. It's notoriously difficult to play these works technically, but also musically, there are so many directions you can go in with these pieces that you can play them in all these different styles. There's a way to connect with them personally for every single player, but you have to find your way, find the way that works for you, find the way that really expresses what you want to say. And that's a tall order. So they are notorious for many different reasons, but they're also really beautiful. And I don't think there's any question about their musical impact either. It's really meaningful, deep music.
So the background for this CD is that when you were 17, your first album was half of these partitas and sonatas. Is that right?
Yes. I was not intending to make a complete set as a recording, but I was making a CD for my first record. So 3 of the pieces fit very well into a CD. And I just picked the 3 that I was, I suppose, most familiar with, the 3 that I played the most. And those were coincidentally, the second half of the set, the last 3. So that left the first 3 unrecorded. And people were asking me to record them, fans and, you know, colleagues. And people would just say, hey, when are you going to do the rest? So eventually I thought, you know, enough time has passed. I should do that. But I liked having it in front of me. I liked having it as something to look forward to. So it's a funny feeling when it's actually done and the whole set is recorded, you know, over 20 years, granted, but it is complete now.
You just mentioned earlier that you have to find your way into them. How did you find your way into these particular pieces?
Well, the first 2 pieces of this repertoire that I ever played were the Siciliano and Presto from the G minor sonata, the 3rd and 4th movements. And I remember when I first learned them, it was so awkward to play them. Like in the Siciliano, there are these string crossings. It's almost like hopping from tightrope to tightrope, and yet you have to keep a lyrical, relaxed feeling to the playing and not freak out while you're playing it. And as a 9-year-old, that was just a whole new set of techniques that I'd never learned before. So I give my teacher a lot of credit for giving me that challenge. But now, having played those pieces since I was 9, now I remember what that was like, but I don't feel those particular challenges anymore because I'm so used to the spatial relations physically that I have to do with my bow arm to get from point A to point B. And now my considerations are more, what kind of tempo do I want to take? How can I keep the feeling of this dance going? How can I keep the swing of the piece while still having full expressive range? And I wind up making decisions very much on what feels natural that day. So does it feel normal to play this at a faster tempo? Does it feel normal to play it slower? Does it feel like I should emphasize this particular note, or does it feel like I should go away from this particular note? And one thing I've just found over the years is that having a certain way that I'm planning to play something and forcing it to be that way, you can tell if it doesn't feel natural. As a listener, you can tell. So I try to practice a variety of different interpretations of any given piece so that I have the freedom in concert to really dive into whatever wants to happen that particular day. So it's really a matter, I think, of being authentic in that sense with these works. It's just one performer. You can't share the interpretation with someone else and bounce your ideas off of someone else and be surprised by someone else's ideas. You have to surprise yourself. The music has to surprise you, and you have to be open to these spur-of-the-moment thoughts that can change your idea of the interpretation. And once you get those ideas, then you kind of run with it. It's almost like if you always are looking out the window at the same scene, and then suddenly you notice that there's something there that you never saw before. There's a bird's nest, or like there's a fire hydrant, and then you realize that, oh, well, that means that there is a whole like flock of birds that lives in this tree. And you start thinking about it a little differently, like that tree is a house for someone, or like there's a fire hydrant because maybe there was a fire here at some point and they needed to put a fire hydrant there. I don't know. Just that's a little bit dorky, but it's kind of the same thing that happens when I look at the landscape of a piece. It has these little clues embedded in it that can mean nothing or can mean everything. Maybe the more time you spend with something, the more possibilities you uncover. But I really do think that he planted all of these little amazing details into the works, and the more you uncover, the more options you have as a performer.
Right. That sense of spontaneity you're describing sounds as if that would often happen during performance. Is there any different way you approach a recording?
I look at a recording as a performance. If I don't have an audience in front of me physically, I imagine that they're in front of me in some other way. So when I'm playing on stage for a recording and there's a microphone there, I have been a listener in headphones and in cars and on airplanes and as background music in a party situation or in a mall. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of music in my life, so I project that this music is reaching the ears of an audience that is in all of those circumstances. And I imagine playing for people as they're listening at home, chilling out with a glass of wine, or as they're cooking dinner, or any number of circumstances. And that's my audience at that time. I find it really nice to create those personal connections with the audience, even if they're not right in front of me.
That's great. Are these pieces that you've used in these programs that you've been doing out of the concert hall, concerts for babies and parents, concerts for knitting circles, concerts for yoga classes, are these the kind of pieces you play?
I'm in a very fortunate situation where I get to have live music in my life every single day. Sometimes I'm the only one playing it, but often when I'm rehearsing with people, I get to hear the full dimensional range of instruments and tones and people's spontaneous ideas, sort of the beautiful and the messy parts of music. I get to hear that every day, and I love it. So I have this idea that, you know, for people who are not surrounded by live music, it's nice to integrate live music into circumstances in which they would just be listening sort of in the background to music, because I think live music just has a whole different feel to it. Recordings have a certain feel that is really poignant, and live music has a different feel that's also poignant for different reasons. So it's nice to have this range of musical experiences in one's life. And that's why I do play concerts for people who are sitting and knitting together, or they're doing their yoga, or they're with their babies, you know, when they wouldn't necessarily be able to go and do these things in the concert hall, but they love to have music in these sort of daily circumstances of their lives. So, yeah, definitely I play solo Bach at all of these occasions because, well, from a practical perspective, it's something that I can always do. I have my violin. I can always do solo Bach. We don't have to worry if the piano is in tune or if there's enough space on stage. It's just me standing there with my violin. So another reason I play the Bach, though, is it really seems to create a mood in a room. It changes the feeling of a room and makes it a concert hall. And it draws people in without being fussy. It just draws people in. It's music that allows people to think their own thoughts and follow whatever experience they want to have with this particular performance.
Right. I was going to ask you, I was listening to this CD and it's beautiful and it's so, it does draw you in, it absorbs you. In your materials, you talk about, as a musician, the importance of technique and phrasing and finding the different voices, and your hope that listeners will find the depth, emotion, humor, and reverie.
Just like a lot of things have many different sides to them emotionally in life, I think the Bach pieces reflect that. It depends how you're looking at the day. If you're looking at the day as a good day, that's, you know, a lot of funny things happened or people said fun stuff, you might hear in the music that it's got a lot of clever twists and turns. But if your day just kind of stinks, you know, you might go into the music as a chance to really connect with what's not feeling good in that particular moment. And it lets you really acknowledge where you are with yourself as a listener and as a performer, and have a place to put those feelings and have a place to make sense of things or leave them hanging. But it gives you a sort of an outlet for whatever is going on for you that particular day.
Wow, that's a wonderful description. It taps into whatever is going on in your life. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Hilary Hahn.
Yeah, thank you.